T+7. Sector 1, Great Shelter, New Kerguelen. I want to go home, Dan said, hoping the group's return point outside of the council office wasn't a sign of things to come. Leisha placed a kind hand on Dan's shoulder. You are going home. Sacco just wants to tell the other counselors a few things. You don't have to go in. I don't even have to go in, thankfully. And are you coming to Earth? Dan asked. Or are you just going to flash us down from the sky? Of course I'm coming to Earth, Leisha replied with some gusto. I have to see the child, Dan, and to ensure she is safely cleansed of the uplift powers. Only a few moments after he entered, the council office's door reopened as Sacco emerged from inside, efficient, if nothing else. Dan was still looking at Leisha, surprised by the strength of his word choice. Cleanse had certain and very obvious negative connotations, leading Dan to wonder how Leisha felt about his own powers. The nature of them meant that Dan didn't actually have to ask out loud, ironically enough, and a reply came just as effortlessly within a few seconds. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It always amused Dan when Leisha used human phrases of more than a few words, or English phrases to be more precise, and it made him wonder whether Leisha was choosing to use those words in a way he understood as impactful or merely repeating word groupings Dan had used in similar contexts. All okay in there? Billy asked Sacco. I gave them a very brief rundown, the alien replied. Some want to cut off all contact with you, but only two, and they weren't fervent about it. No one was at all happy to hear any of the news about the architects, but in terms of the general population, we are all in agreement to work on a plan to gently and tactfully reveal the truth. We have no plans to lie, but the way a truth emerges can hurt as much as its content. Dan nodded in full support of that sentiment. Sacco then extended his hand towards Dan, but held it open with the palm facing up. This revealed around 10 small square patches, of the kind which enabled non-invasive telepathy between consenting wearers. In exchange for the transcript patches you are still wearing, the alien said with a large grin. Those won't be much use on Earth anyway. Actually, can I keep mine for the site in Turkey? Billy asked. Dortlu Tepe, where we found the carving of an architect talking to a human with one of the cables? You never know. There could be a transcript on one of the pillars, like a signpost only visible to their own kind. Sacco's eyes widened at the possibility. Keep them both, he said. Take them off for the journey, but take them both. Well, home time, Dan chimed in. It's been challenging, Sacco said. That's one word, Dan laughed. Which do you prefer? Dan glanced down at his hands. He still had his Greater X 3000 containing bag, or rather he had it again after putting it down for a while, and inside there were now also a considerable number of telepathy-granting patches and an all-important uplifter headset. I'll go with successful, Dan said. I came here to save Piper and we found just the thing. Now all that's left to do is use it. Until next time. Sacco said, initiating a handshake with Dan. No hard feelings? All's well that ends well, Dan replied. And despite everything those architects did, you still had enough decency to let me go when it counted. I'll try to remember that, not the part when you immobilized me. Only a successful trip could end with laughter like this, and Sacco was smiling like Leisha himself when he moved to Billy and shook hands with a man he had developed unlikely friendly feelings towards in the past half hour. Billy knew what he wanted and wasn't afraid to ask for it, which impressed Sacco very much given that he had been raised in a controlled culture where to inquire was to disobey. So soon, after all hope seemed lost, a few flashes and a hop into a comfortable chair was now all that stood between Dan and his family. He didn't necessarily see himself as a conquering hero, but he and Billy had done the job, one way or another, and to the victors went the spoils. Both men removed their triangular patches, as Sacco advised, and placed them in Dan's bag. Clutching that bag of priceless loot, Dan McCarthy closed his eyes, smiled wide, and waited for the flash.